If you want to turn over to 1 Thessalonians 13, or chapter 3, verse 13, that's where we're going to be starting this morning. David and I have been working through the My Life verse. So again, if you have any verse suggestions, anything that you are really focused on, anything that's helpful to you in the Bible, give it to David or I, and we'll talk about it. This morning's suggestion comes from Miss Cherry. I don't know all of her story, but I called her a little bit, so I know a little bit what's going on, and the way that she formed the verses that she gave me was really inspiring and really tested my faith and the way that I trust in God. So this morning we're going to talk a bit about caregivers and the things that they have to go through, and about how we give care. So when I was thinking about this topic, when I had to, look into it for myself, I didn't know all that much about caregiving, so I did some research for my own, and I found a lot of situations where people had to give up a lot of, their personal interests and time so that they could serve other people. And in a lot of these paragraphs, they used a word that we're very familiar with, and that word is sacrifice. Just as we know sacrifice for what the Savior gave up for us, what he was willing to do for us, so other people have to do for other people. I read about a story of a girl who was 17 when her mom, she got a terminal illness, and her dad was working, so she had to stay home. So she had to put the rest of her life on hold. She couldn't go to college. She couldn't just move out and do whatever she wanted to do. She had to stay home with her mom. But that was a sacrifice she was willing to make because that's how much he cared and loved for her. I read another story about this family who was living off on their own, and they had to come, quite a distance to live at home with someone they were taking care of. And the reason they were doing that is because they loved them. I just recently got my freedom, and I really enjoy it. I enjoy just having my own house, my own thing. So to give up your freedom of living in your own house and doing your own thing for another person, that's also an example of love. And then I read a story about a guy who had a red Cadillac, and he really loved this car. But because his wife got sick, he was willing to sell it so that he could help her. Caregiving is about sacrifice, about daily giving up of yourself so that you are able to serve other people. And in that, we learn a lot of lessons about how we should be serving as well. So the first verse that I got for this morning was 2 Thessalonians 3:13. The context of this verse is Paul is talking to the Thessalonians about idleness and what it means to be idle. We have that problem in our society as well, where we can paddle, we can act like we're paddling a boat, we get up to a river, and when we get either tired or we think we've made it to the destination, we stop paddling. But the reality is you are never just idle. The second you stop paddling is the second you stop moving, start moving forwards and start moving backwards. So Paul tells the Thessalonians in 3:13, he says, "As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good." That is a really difficult thing to get by. Because when we're trying to do good for other people, a lot of times people aren't thankful for the things that we do. They're ungrateful. They can't pay us back. There's a multitude of reasons of why it is hard to help other people. But a lot of it comes down to our own selfishness and how we're not willing to help other people just because it won't really benefit us. The caregivers that we have, they show that every day what it means to not grow weary of doing good. Because virtually 24 hours a day, someone's life is in their hands. They have to be ready at any moment to help out. And it's an incredible task. And in that, they can grow weary. But they show a lot of strength and a lot of faith in God to not grow weary, to continue to do good, even when it's not benefiting them all that much. But to get to that position, what is our mindset? What do we have to be like in order to get there? If you want to turn over to Acts chapter 20. Paul is about to leave the Ephesian church for the last time. He's heading on his way to Jerusalem, where he will later be arrested. So as he's talking to the Ephesian elders, these people who he's really close to, he lived in Ephesus for 2 years, and he really loves and cares for these people. So in his final speech to them, he tells them this in verse 24. "But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. How do we stop focusing on ourselves? We start focusing on the message. The message of the good news that has come to the world, telling us that we all have a Savior. And that Savior can do more to comfort you than any caregiver. So in this passage, we reflect on what it means to just give up yourself. To realize that while God does care about you, the message that he gives is more important because that goes to everyone. It's not just about you. So it's a really focusing in. And especially Paul, who is going to Jerusalem where he will later be detained, he knew about this to some extent. And he would have it prophesied to him at Antioch. But he still was willing to go because he counted his life as nothing. If you want to turn over into Isaiah chapter 50, that's where we learn another lesson about what it means to turn your life over to God, what it means to serve him with everything. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah is a big book, but it's kind of elusive, so if you haven't read through it or read the servant songs in particular, I would recommend it. You'll get a lot out of it. But Isaiah 50 is one of these servant songs. At the beginning of Isaiah, when we start reading about the servant songs, we see this great and mighty king who's going to come and save his people. He's going to tread evil underfoot. He's going to drive back the Babylonians. He's going to do everything and save his people. But as the servant songs progress and continue, this servant isn't just, you know, a mighty king, but he's going to be destroyed. He's going to be trampled on. He's going to be put to shame. And then Isaiah 53, the one we know the most, he's going to die. He's going to suffer and he's going to be afflicted. What kind of king is this? Well, it's the most true king of them all, the servant king. And in verse 7, we see where the king gets his strength from. He says, "But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be put to shame." A lot of things that come in taking care of other people is shame. Because other people are like, "Why don't you live for yourself? Why aren't you just going around helping your other people? Why don't you just let this problem, leave it to other people?" In our situation, as Christians, as people who are chosen to serve, that's not our place. But we know one thing that they don't know, and that is God is our helper. So that in any situation, we are able to take care in a way that other people won't understand because the Lord is our helper. In this passage, it says that I have set my face like flint. I have become resolved in the way that I am. I have become strengthened because the Lord has given me something that, you know, the world, once again, is not going to understand. And in this passage, we see, he says that he's not going to be ashamed. But Jesus was in a position of complete shame. He was hanging from a cross, the worst form of torture and death in the ancient world. Naked and exposed before the entire world, mocked by people who he came to save. How is that not shameful? Because he put his hope in the Lord. And when you put your hope there, you can't be put to shame. Our next verse is going to come from David. It's going to be Psalm chapter 131. It's a really short psalm, but in it, it packs a lot of power, just like a lot of psalms do. That's Psalm chapter 131. It says, "O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." I saw a video on YouTube recently about a guy who used to be a Christian. He became an atheist. And as I was listening to his reasoning, he had some, you know, flawed views of the Bible and, you know, logic and all this stuff. But one of the big things that was really hard for him was how faith is not scientific. You can't measure faith, so do you know that it really exists? And if I have faith in God in this thing, does that mean I have to believe all the things about angels and demons? Like, what does that all come to? But, I mean, I don't think that guy realizes that every day when we get in our car and turn the key, we have faith that the car is going to turn on. That when we drive over a bridge, over a river, we have faith that that bridge isn't just going to fall down. That we live in a place where there's trees around us, we have faith that the trees aren't going to fall on our house. And that's because faith is based off of evidence. When we have evidence for the God of comfort, then we have faith in the things that he has said, and the faith in the things that he is willing to accomplish. And that is what David is saying here, that I'm not worried about things that are too wondrous and too marvelous for me. David's not worrying about 20 years in the future. He's not even necessarily worried about the next day. He's not worried about angels and demons and all these things that we don't completely understand. What he's focused on is his soul is now quieted because he has left everything to the Lord. Trust in him, O Israel, forevermore. And that is a thought for us, that we don't get occupied with things that are too big for us. Rather, we rely on what God has told us, and we have faith in him, and we continue to live our lives in that manner. The last verse that Miss Cherry gave me this morning is going to be found in 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. If you want to look over in verse 12 and the second part of the verse. Now, Paul is introducing one of his last letters to Timothy. And in it, he says, you know, this is possibly the last time he's going to be able to write to Timothy. He says, "But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am convinced he is able to guard until the day what has been entrusted to me." Part of having faith in God is entrusting everything to him. That means this next day. That means this next hour. That means your next year. That means your soul and your salvation. When you rely on him, you can trust that it's going to get done. Because he has proved all through history his faithfulness to his people. So all we have to do is trust and rely and work every day to serve and honor him. When I called Miss Cherry about the sermon that I was going to preach this morning, it gave me a lot of insight into her faith and how these verses really helped her in a time that is adversarial. And in it, she told me something that she probably glossed over, but for me, it's just stuck with me ever since. She said, "If God fills me up so that he can empty me, so be it." How often does God fill us up, and the instant that someone tries to take anything from us, we just hold it in. We're like, "I'm not going to let this go because this is what God gave me. This is nice." God gave you that so that you could give it away. The best way to honor our God is by serving him, by serving other people. And that is what caregivers show us in their faith. But in their times of struggle, in their times of trial, God is their helper. But God also has other helpers, and that is us. So you want to turn over to one last verse with me, Galatians chapter 6. Paul tells the church in Galatia in verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Who is to take care of the caregivers? God will naturally. But God also works through humans. So there are a number of caregivers who are in this congregation and in this group. So what are we doing daily to serve them, to serve their needs? How can we bond together more, and how can we help them and lift them up in love? Because growing weary of doing good happens to all of us. But if we strive to strengthen one another and strive to do what is good for one another, then we'll become an unstoppable force because God will be with us. I hope that this morning this lesson has encouraged us to bond together, to love deeper, and to not grow weary of doing good for God. Pray with me. Dear Lord in heaven, I'm prayerful this morning that we are not caught up with things that are too grand for us to know, that we're not caught up with the things that this world is driving us to do. But rather what we do is we choose to serve because we know that we will not be put to shame by you. We're prayerful, dear Lord, that as we seek to serve one another, that we will not grow weary of doing good. And we will pursue the good in all things, that we will lift one another up, that we will bear each other's burdens, that we will live to serve you in everything that we do. And dear Lord, we know that it's hard and that our flesh is going to tell us to live selfishly and our flesh is going to tell us that we want to do what's best for ourselves. But we pray, dear Lord, that you will give us hearts that are willing to serve. Thank you for all things that you do for us and the ways that you honor us. And pray, dear Lord, that we will turn that honor back to you and glorify you in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.